So now we will have the message by Mr. Scriber.
Thank you, my friend. It's good to see you all. In spite of having Mr. Buchanan as your pastor here for so long, you're a very friendly and nice congregation to be with. And we appreciate coming here. And you don't find all congregations where the people are friendly and welcoming, and sometimes people a little more standoffish. But you all do a wonderful job, and I believe God is very well pleased. It's a pleasure for us to be here. My wife attends the CTE conference at Lowe's every year, and so we usually come down on Saturday evening, but decided to come up this time and see if Mr. Buchanan would allow me to speak. Taking a chance here, but maybe after services, you can clarify some of the issues that we bring up today. So. Anyway, I think many of you may be familiar, but in September, in just a month and a half, will be my retirement date from the full-time ministry of the Church of God. I've been out in the ministry service since 1972, and I've had Yuma, Northern Arizona, Phoenix, which we merged in from 2-1 congregation in Albuquerque. So I'll be still pastoring Albuquerque. I've asked if I could do that, and that'll take some of the weight off of Jim Tuck when he moves into the Phoenix area. And then I'll be an elder, and my wife and I will serve in Phoenix area still. So maybe we'll be able to come down here on occasion, and if you'll have us, to visit you, because we're not tied to another congregation necessarily. So. Anyway, we're looking forward to that. We'll stay busy, but it's very, very good, and it's a pleasure for us to be here. Hebrews 5:13 says, "Everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Milk or meat? What is milk of the word? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, if you'd turn over there, we'll refer back to this as we talk today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." And so Paul is addressing this congregation that has a number of problems, and he says, as a result of the issues that they had, he said, "They're babes in Christ, acting carnal." And he said, verse 2, "I've fed you with milk and not with meat. For before this you were not able to bear it, neither are you able now." You hear every once in a while that somebody says, "Oh, I left that group because they just preach about love, and I went to this guy because he always preaches meat." What is the milk of the word? Should we even be using the milk of the word? At what point do we grow out of milk of the word? What's spiritual meat? How do you define it? What should we be learning from the meat of the word? I'm not asking for a show of hands or whatever, but let's think about this. Milk or meat? The Ten Commandments. Would you put that in the category? If you had a little list of milk and meat, would you say Ten Commandments are milk or meat? An advanced grasp of prophecy. Milk or meat? About knowledge of the kingdom of God, what God's plan is for mankind. Under what column would you put faith? Under what column would you put love? The Sabbath, back to the Ten Commandments. Where would you put a deep understanding of the Hebrew calendar? Milk or meat? hope. Which column? An advanced grasp of history, biblical history in particular, and all things surrounding that. A knowledge of Hebrew and Greek. Service to others. Milk or meat? I don't know if you made a column here. Maybe you can go back and check afterwards to see if what we think might be milk and what we might be meat meets the standard of the Scripture. First thing we need to understand as we talk about milk or meat is that the milk of the Word is not a pejorative term. It is not a bad thing. Okay? The milk of the Word is a good thing. It's an essential thing. It is a must on our work towards the kingdom of God. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I guess you're helping me practice for the Day of Atonement. Thank you. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Generally, there's a little water or something there, but since he's helping me to grow by fasting, so he knew I needed that. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Peter says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And so he's talking to the congregation about this love for one another, this purifying your souls. And thank you, sir. Yeah, okay, good. You're, whoever is a deacon, you're officially de-deaconized because and expressing sincere love for the brethren and humility and patience and all that. So it says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 1, it says, therefore, laying aside, these are things we need to get rid of, right? Malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. So you lay those things aside when you become a brethren, when you become a part of the body of Christ. And verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word. Milk of the Word is something to be desired. It's something to be maintained. It's something to grow from because it says that you may grow thereby. So milk of the Word is what causes you to grow. It's where you take off from to grow. And it says, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, as you see God's plan and God opens your mind and calls you and he gives you the milk of the Word, and then you've tasted a bit of God and what he's like and what he has in store for us. You notice that when one is called, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking is laid aside, and the milk of the Word replaces that which we lay aside. You know, in comes the good air, out goes the bad air, you know. When a person is called by God as a babe in Christ, what does God feed them? When a person is called as a babe in Christ, what does God feed them? When a new person walks through that door, and it's their first exposure to one of the churches of God, what does God feed that person so that they may grow thereby? What was it that got your attention when you were first called? For many people, it was prophecy. I know for my folks, they were called in 1967 at the end of the 50s, and the Cold War, and had Cuba, and the missile crisis, and all those things going on. And prophecy loomed pretty large because the end of the world was coming. Really close at that time, obviously. It's even closer now, actually. But prophecy was something. And then what is going to happen if the bombs go off and things are destroyed and the world falls apart? Well, you've got the kingdom of God. You've got a hope, which is prophecy. And so, says Jesus, Mark chapter 1, verse 14, what did Jesus teach? Mark 1, 14 says, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's milk. It's essential for growth. If you don't have an understanding of the gospel of the kingdom of God, what are you going to grow into? What's the basis for growth? And saying the time is fulfilled. Prophecy is being fulfilled. So he's teaching prophecy. All the prophecies in the Old Testament, I'm a part of the prophetic fulfillment. And so he preached prophecy to the newbies, if you will. And the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he says, repent and believe the gospel. When you repent, what do you repent of? You repent of breaking God's laws, right? And so you've got to know God's laws in order to be able to repent. So God's laws are the milk of the word. It's the most basic thing, is what God says to do and what the outcome is. Again, most people were introduced by prophecy and what's happening in the world. The world needs saving, and the fact that Jesus Christ is returning and the kingdom of God is coming, that's prophecy. Again, the most basic thing. And then a desire to know what to do. The seminars, but the programs are having now. What's the name of that again? You just announced it. You should have it memorized. But you know, the team goes out there and they say, look, the world is falling apart. And then they say, there's the kingdom of God coming. And then they say, repent, the time is now. Thank you. I was just testing you. I knew. I was just testing you. But the time is now, right? And so what are you going to do with this knowledge that you have? And so the milk of the word is prophecy. It's the kingdom of God. It's repenting of those things that God shows you need to repent of. Believe in Jesus Christ. And so belief, faith, is still the milk of the word. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. So what is the milk of the word? Hebrews chapter 5 gives a overall definition of the milk of the word. Hebrews 5 verse 13. It says, for everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Okay, it doesn't say don't partake of it. But you must partake of the milk of the word of righteousness and grow thereby. So you can't, what he's saying is don't just stay at the basic milk of the word level, grow into meat. And we'll talk about what the Bible says meat is as we go on. He says, for if you are partaking only of milk, he's a babe. Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on to perfection, not having to lay again that foundation of what? And so he's saying this foundation is the milk. The very basics, if you don't have it, you're not going to grow towards the kingdom of God. The foundation of repentance from dead works. Jesus Christ came saying, repent and believe the gospel. What do you repent of? Breaking the commandments. Commandments are milk. Repentance is a foundation of your Christian journey. If you're not repentant, you're not going to grow spiritually. And of faith toward God. Repent and believe the gospel, he said. If you don't believe in what Jesus said in bringing the gospel of the kingdom of God, you have no basis for growth. If you don't believe he is your Savior, and he came to die for your sins and the sins of the world, you have no basis for growth. So faith toward God is the milk of the word. Like I say, it's not a bad thing. Desire it. The doctrine of baptisms, verse 2. We've got to have our sins forgiven and receive the Holy Spirit. You're baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, then you can grow into maturity in the meat of the word. The laying on of hands, basically saying that Jesus would establish his church, and in this process he's working through imperfect men. There's a church to be a part of, and men are a part of it, laying on of hands, right, for the receiving of the Holy Spirit, for anointing and marriage and all those different things. The resurrection of the dead, the hope for mankind. If you don't know what you're hoping for, if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to get there. And if we don't believe in the resurrection, if there's no resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. But there is hope in the resurrection. The promise from God for following his ways. You will be resurrected. And of eternal judgment, God's plan of salvation for all mankind, an obvious motivation to grow. So this is the milk of the word, the most basic things. And that's why this foundation of milk must always be. But he says, don't stay only with the milk of the word at a knowledge level. But where do we grow from here? It says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. So where do we grow from here once we have this foundation? What is the solid food? What is the meat that we're to grow into? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, we back up a little bit and get context, and we'll get back to this again after we discuss this for a little bit. Hebrews 5 verse 8 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Learned obedience by the things that he suffered, and then having been perfected, he grew into perfection. Not that he never sinned. I'm not saying that. It doesn't mean that. But he learned maturity by the things he went through and the things he did and his interaction that he had with others while on earth as a human being. In verse 9, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He was the first one that was the perfect one entering the kingdom of God, and we are to follow him. We obey him. We follow his example. Verse 10, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you've become dull of hearing. He said, I want to tell you more. I want to tell you about that perfection of Jesus and its relationship to you, but I'm not able to because you're not grounded in the basics and the foundation. You're getting off and doing the things opposite of the milk of the word. He wanted to give them meat, which was the things about how to become more like Jesus Christ in heart, in mind, in attitude, and action. And he says, verse 12 of Hebrews 5, though by this time you ought to be teachers. What ought you to be teachers of? He said, and you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. You're getting off of the basic foundation. You got to stay with that basic foundation. That's why I've got to go back and explain these basic things again. Then you can grow, and we'll talk about how. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Verse 14, but solid food, meat in the King James, it says, belongs to those who are of full age. That is, okay, so the eating of the meat, the milk, meat of the word, the solid food belongs to the people of full age, and what are people of full age? It says that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's not a knowledge, it's an application of knowledge. It's an internalization of the knowledge. It's a practice of the knowledge in a Christ-like manner that he says, you grow into that. And I wanted to teach you these things, but you got to have those basics again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, sometimes people set themselves up and say, well, I know how to judge both good and evil, and they become judges of other people and make some mistakes in the process. But let's continue this understanding of what this maturity is, this meat of the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, the New Living Translation, says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. As we read through this, we see that the lofty words and the great wisdom, and he spoke a lot of things, but the Hebrew and Greek, or the vast knowledge of history and prophecy and that type of thing, or things that were impressive, is not what he used to get people moving towards the kingdom of God and growing. Now, it's not that there's anything wrong with education. I'm a full believer in education, and we need to grow in our basic knowledge, even of the milk. But he says, verse 2, I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one crucified. Why was he so focused on Jesus? You know, people say, oh, Jesus only, you know, no law, no nothing. It's just only Jesus, only grace. That's not what he's saying. We'll get more clarification here. Verse 4, and my message, my preaching was very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Use God's Spirit to help give you a deeper understanding of what God wants from us, what his purpose for us is. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but the power of God. Just a caution, you know, when people bring themselves to them and say, well, I have this special wisdom, I have this special knowledge nobody else understands. Okay, is that from God? Is that what God is after? We find that meat of the word is not intellectual depth of knowledge. Now, you can have a deeper understanding of the milk of the word with greater intellectual knowledge. There are a lot of people that are a lot smarter than I am, and that's good. And they can explain things in a way that I would not be able to, because I don't know Hebrew and Greek and a lot of things like that. And that's okay. It's good. But that's not what's the most important thing is. He says, verse 6, yet when I'm among mature believers. Okay, when you're among people who are ready for the meat of the word, you know, who have an understanding of those basics, the basic foundation that he gives to us to draw us into his family. When I'm among mature believers, I do not speak with words of wisdom, or I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or the rulers of the world. It's not just knowledge for the sake of knowledge or intellectual vanity. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 13. When we tell you these things, we don't use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak with words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. There's a deeper spiritual understanding of who God is and what our relationship with God is, what the meaning, the deeper meaning of these basic truths of the milk of the Word are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as unto carnal." Now, when you're a mature believer, I can go on and give you more spiritual truths, but I'm speaking to you as carnal, as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2, "I fed you with milk, not solid food, for until now you're not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able." Why weren't they able to eat the meat? Why weren't they able to grow? Verse 3, "For you are still carnal, for where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, you are carnal, behaving like mere men. For when one says, 'I'm of Paul,' and another, 'Apollos,' aren't you carnal?" You know, when you're looking to different guys and say, I'm a disciple of him, and boy, he's always gives good sermons, and he's got deeper understanding, and he knows the date of the calendar, and all these things, and you're choosing people. That's getting back to that, remember the scripture that talked about, you know, envy and malicious speaking and all that type of thing being the opposite of the milk of the Word? That's why he says, I got to go back and I got to give you the reason for the season, the reason we're here, the reason God called you, that basic understanding, and then you'll be able to grow again. But you've got to get off this strife. You've got to get off of this thing where you're not behaving like Jesus Christ. You got the knowledge, but you don't have the application. Divisions, envy, and strife are the opposite of spiritual food. So, what is solid spiritual food? If it's not intellectual knowledge, then what greater knowledge should we be striving for? We've got to retain the milk of the Word, as I've said, and this knowledge is essential. It is unchanging. The basic milk of the Word doesn't change. You cannot dump the milk of the Word or stop making it a part of your diet, because you can't grow if you dump it, okay? If you're doing the things opposite of what God's will is. But what is a mature understanding? Bynes Dictionary of the Bible, Dictionary of Biblical Words, says there are two words for knowledge in the New Testament here. The first one is gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. And Bynes says, primarily, a seeking to know, an inquiry, an investigation. You know, when God called you, you began investigating the Bible to see what it says. And then God gave you a knowledge of prophecy, what's going to happen. Gave you a knowledge of the kingdom of God and what the future is. Gave you a knowledge of Christ as your Savior, baptism, all these things. He gave you this knowledge. Bynes goes on to say, regarding gnosis, denotes in the New Testament knowledge, especially spiritual truth. So God gives you knowledge. You maintain that knowledge, the milk of the Word. The second word is epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. And Bynes describes it this way, and I think quite well. Epignosis, it says, denotes exact or full knowledge, discernment, and recognition. And so it's not just a knowledge level, but it's a discernment. What is that knowledge for? It's a recognition of why God gave us the milk of the Word and why he gives us this understanding. It goes on to say, and is a strengthened form of number one. So there's knowledge, gnosis, and there's a strengthened form of knowledge. You don't dump the knowledge in order to gain epignosis. You have that basic thing, the desire, the sincere milk of the Word, to go to epignosis, which he goes on to say. Epignosis is expressing a fuller or full knowledge, a greater participation by the knower in the object known. a greater participation by the knower in the object known. So you know about the Sabbath. Why do we keep the Sabbath? Well, so we can make a list of rules, so we can condemn somebody that doesn't keep the list of rules the way we do. No. What is the purpose of the Sabbath? What is the purpose of the law? Why did God call you? How does he expect you to act? So we have the knowledge, and then we gain with maturity a greater participation by the knower in the object known. And it continues, thus more powerfully influencing him. And so you take the milk of the word and you grow on that, being more fully involved with it. Let's look at an example in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, so God gives some of these basic things. Give some of the milk of the word with a kind of a governmental structure here in some sense, organizational structure. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he have the laying on of hands, the structure? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifice, building, is for the building of the congregation and the members of the body of Christ. Why? What are we building towards? Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That word knowledge there is the epinosis. Okay, when God opens your mind, you believe in him. That's knowledge. You believe that he is your personal Savior, and you become baptized. But then we participate with one another as the body of Christ, and we learn more. To take off from that knowledge a greater participation by the knower of the known. Okay, so the known is Jesus Christ, and it says we come to the unity of the faith. There's faith. This is the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Maturity. Meet. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Meet. Maturity. It's the measure and the stature of Christ that is the meat. And we have the knowledge so that we can grow to that end. And then he says, verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. He says there'll be a lot of folks that will tell you, hey, I've got the meat. I've got this understanding that nobody else has. And me and my group of 25 people are meeting on the right day for Pentecost or Passover or whatever. Okay? God, that's me, you know. Is that meat? Now there's going off on all types of winds of doctrine and portions of it and getting off from why those things are there. We grow up into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And it says, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Now, maturity is understanding the basic truths of God with the understanding of the spiritual application. It's not just a knowledge level, it's an epinosis level, an internalization, and a participation in it. And he says, speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. And so this growth from the milk of the word is what? Growing up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ. So the maturity is becoming like Jesus Christ in his mind, his heart, and attitude, says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. The body grows when we work together as a whole, as a group, to serve one another, to give to one another, to treat one another in a Christ-like manner. Remember, Paul said, I can't speak to you as mature because there's envying and strife and division. You're not growing in love to become the body of Christ by being like him. It's shameful when we do otherwise, which we do too often. He says, for where there's envy, strife, and divisions among you, aren't you carnal? Here he says, to be mature, to grow, to advance, to have the meat, the perfection, become more like Christ. That's why I find it interesting that some people will say, well, they just talk about love. I'm going over this guy because he knows his prophecy. Or he knows, you know, the calendar or whatever it is. It's actually the opposite. I know it may be distressing to some, but I believe the scripture bears that out. It's all about applying God's laws to become truly Christ-like. I'll give you an analogy. Anybody in here a contractor? Okay, we got a couple of builders here. Let's say a contractor tells two gentlemen that he'll hire them to whatever, if you're, just say, building a house. Okay, I want to hire you guys, but you have to read the builder's manual. You got to find out a little bit more about carpentry and the rules and so forth before you can really get to work. So you got to have some knowledge. When I worked for a contractor, he just hired me without having all that knowledge, and he took his chances, and probably shouldn't have at times. But if you're really going to get into the building trades, you got to read the manuals. You got to know your codes and so forth. Jesus, in John 4, verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Finish God's work. Bring it to fulfillment. Bring it to maturity. So how do we help Jesus Christ bring God's work into maturity? Jesus is hiring us as laborers, right? And we're being hired on. In order to be hired on, we've got to know what the book says. We've got to know what the manual says. That's the gnosis. That's the milk. This is what it says here, okay, on how to do it. So first you learn what it takes to be a builder, and then you dedicate yourself to being a worker. When we're called, we have to know what to repent of, what the gospel is, and then accept the job, accept the calling that God gives us. Many are called, but few are chosen. So you're chosen when you respond to them. This is the milk, okay? We know God's plan. We respond to it. Now, these two guys that we're hiring, you know, one of them reads his book, reads his manuals, understands the codes, understands how to take the measurements and the angles and all that type of thing. And the other guy does too. So they're both studying. And one guy decides, okay, I just need to keep studying. I'm going to stay home and study. And this guy says, I'm going to keep studying, but I'm going to go to work. You know, and if you'll take me on, I'm going to study and I'm going to work. And I'm going to learn to apply the things that I'm learning in practical application. A work-study program, if you will. That's kind of like we are. We're at a work-study program. We don't just study to gain knowledge. We study to use the knowledge. We study to apply it and be a useful worker. Now, we understand how to apply what we're learning. We can learn about the Sabbath, and we can sit at home, and we can read, and we can study, And I've heard people say, well, I get more out of staying home from church and studying than going to church. Guys, you're getting gnosis. You're maybe being more established in the milk. But he wants us to grow beyond that, right? What's more important, learning or applying? Serving others instead of just reading about serving others. Okay. I know that I'm not talking about people who are unable to attend and that type of thing. That doesn't enter into this. But which is more practical and useful to the master builder? The person that studies and knows it and then applies it and is out there with the hammer putting things together, or the one that's still studying about it? Okay, the studying about it is the milk of the word. The getting out there and using the hammer spiritually is the meat of the word, the actual application. Will Jesus call on you in the world tomorrow to instruct everyone about what you learned? That'll be a part of the job. Or will he be more interested in when we begin doing our job in the millennium, working with people that we have relationships and we know how to build relationships and we know how to apply the biblical laws and principles? We're going to be useful to him if we're applying the law instead of just talking about it. No, it's easier to stay home and read about building than it is to actually build, and I've done my share of building. You know, it's tough to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work. It's tough to carry hod. It's tough to put 12-foot, 12-by-4, 5/8 sheetrock on a ceiling than it is to read about it. Right? If you've done that, you know what I'm talking about. My wife has done that with me. That's why her neck's out of place. But getting along with and working with the drinking, cursing laborers out there in order to be able to do the job is a lot more useful to the builder than you staying home reading about what it would be like. That's the way the Word of God is with us. Who benefits the boss most? Again, John 4:34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." What if Jesus had decided to stay home? Oh, need a bigger podium. I'm God. I'm pretty comfortable as God. But he decided to leave home and to go to work. My will is to do the will of him that sent me to do the work. And he became a man, and he suffered, and he served mankind so that God's plan could be fulfilled. If he had decided to stay home and be close to God, where would we be? For Jesus, what did doing the work entail? What Jesus did is the meat of the word. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. The International Version says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion," Philippians 2 verse 2, "then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and one purpose." Be complete. Finish the work. Be mature, having your understanding perfected. be the same mind as Jesus Christ, and you be of one spirit and one mind as a group to fulfill the will of God. Verse 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. It's the opposite of the milk of the word even, right? And it's certainly not the meat of the word when you're that way. Or when we're that way, because we get that way sometimes. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Verse 4, for each of you should look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. He lived what he taught. He lived what he was. And it says, have the same mind, the same attitude. That's growing in perfection. It's not just gaining more knowledge for the sake of knowledge, it's applying it. Back to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. You know, with this in mind, let's rehearse what it says about meat and milk. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. We read this earlier, but let's put it together a bit. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. What about us? Do we learn obedience to the things that are suffered? When I was building for a contractor, I suffered a good bit, you know, when I hit my thumb with a hammer, and I still got a gap out of my finger here when I was trying to cut some shingles on a roof, and I cut my finger instead. And, you know, there's all kinds of suffering that goes on, and you're sore, and you have to get up too early and work too long. But you learn stuff through doing that, right? Instead of just reading about it. Verse 9, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you're dull of hearing. When there's contentions, when there's divisions, when you're not humbling yourself and putting somebody else first, it's hard to explain Christ, isn't it? Why did he, as God, humble himself and become a human being? You know, and when I can't humble myself, when I have to put myself up above somebody else and say, they can't do that to me, I can't be taught. I can't understand Christ if I can't take it on myself and begin following him. So that's why it's hard to explain since some of you become dull of hearing, because you're going off and doing all kinds of things that aren't reaching the perfection of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 of Hebrews 5, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, teachers of what? Actually, teachers of how to have the mind of Christ. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have need of milk and not solid food. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. The person that only reads the contractor's manual is unskilled in building. But you have to have the contractor's manual to become skilled. Verse 4, but solid food, the meat, belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We discern what the Word of God is about by doing the Word of God. It's not just about the law, it's about understanding how to apply the law and why the law. Romans chapter 12 or 10. Romans chapter 10. It says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, seek to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted to the righteousness of God." There is a supposed righteous. The Pharisees were very righteous in the way they kept the Sabbath. Well, they wouldn't walk more than a few feet, and they wouldn't swat a gnat unless it bit them first, and they had all these things. They were very righteous, right? But not according to the righteousness of God. They established their own righteousness. They have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Verse 4, "And Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." He shows you how to apply the milk of the word. He shows you how to apply the law. And we strive to become like him. That's the meat. Setting up our own rules for the Sabbath is not meat. Knowing who the 144,000 are or when 1,335 days is would be nice knowledge if we did know. But it's not meat. It's milk. It's prophecy. It's the basics. Nothing wrong with prophecy. I'm sure your sermon was good last week on the beast. It was Franz Josef Strauss, by the way. But setting up our own calendar is not meat. He keeps the law with love and mercy and forgiveness. Do we keep the law with love and mercy and forgiveness? You know, Passover is not just about the symbols. We do the symbols. That's a part of it to help us understand. It's not about, you know, how we walk down the aisle and pass out wine, or whether the bread is made at home or it's a matzo or whatever. That's not the meat of the word. How we apply the Passover lessons is the meat, is it not? And what was happening in 1 Corinthians 11 there is that they were keeping Passover, but there was strife and envy and divisions and class envy and all that type of thing going on. And he says, "You're not keeping the Passover." Why? The humility, washing the feet. They didn't get it. So I said, I can't speak unto you as unto mature, but unto babes, because you don't understand. Some people keep the Passover separately with perceived meat. I know how to do it. Nobody else knows. You know, it's revealed to me. And we can miss humility and unity and love. If anybody's on these things, I'm sorry, I'm just preaching the word. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, and I think this helps give us perspective about what meat and milk is. New International Version. "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains," well, that's got to be meat, right? I mean, man, if I had... I can't fathom prophecy very well. I'm not that good of a prophecy student, and I'm not just giving this sermon because I'm not a good prophecy student. But but if I could fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I had everybody came to me for the answers, it would be heady. But if I have not love, I'm nothing. Okay, which is more important then? Because you can have a lot of knowledge and all that type of thing. Well, that's the milk of the word, but without love, you have nothing. Verse 8, "Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they'll cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." You know, when in the world tomorrow, when you sit down with people in the millennium, and if you are the greatest prophecy student, how much benefit are you going to be specifically with that? Well, a lot of the prophecy will then be history, so it'd be good to be a history student. Okay. But what does God want us to carry into the millennium and the great white throne judgment and the kingdom beyond? Relationships. How to apply the word of God. Okay, it's not, again, I like prophecy. I'm all for it. We're living it. It's going to happen. But God puts it in perspective here, I think, along with a lot of knowledge. I lost my place there. Okay, verse 13. So his knowledge, it'll pass away. Verse 13 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. Faith and hope are even the milk of the word, but then it says the greatest of these is love. Applying your faith, applying the hope that you have for eternal salvation and for the salvation of all mankind. The greatest of these is love. The true application of love is the strongest meat. Colossians chapter 3, we're beginning to wrap it up here in case you're getting too nervous. But I want to go ahead and wake him up so that he can finish the rest of this. But, I don't know. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. So what is spiritual maturity and perfection? Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Remember Paul when he says, I have many things to say about Christ, but you're not able to bear it. Get back to the milk, get the establishment, right? I have many things to say that are hard to say. Aren't these things hard to say? We're talking about becoming mature, becoming like Jesus Christ, to have tender mercy and kindness and humility. That's not easy. That's hard because Satan's way is to go the opposite. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anybody has a complaint against one another, write it up and send it in. You know? De-deaconize them because they didn't put water on the table. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Do the will of my Father. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, maturity, meet. That application. And it says how, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, internalizing God's way, internalizing the attitude of Jesus Christ, to which you were called in one body. It's that working together, which is difficult, which is a trial and a test sometimes in working with each other, right? We learn obedience to the things we suffer too. And be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. It's not having the knowledge, but it's internalizing, it's epinosising it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm doing this in Jesus' name. I'm acting like he would act. I'm following the example that he set. That's meat. That's tough. It's a hard road, but this road we're called to. We'll conclude in 2 Peter. We won't conclude because all these questions you're going to grill me with after the sermon. But 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Lord Jesus, our Lord. That word knowledge is epinosis. OK, Okay, remember, that's that internalizing. That's the knower knowing the knowledge better, making it a part of him. So through the knowledge, the internalizing of God and Jesus Christ, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and goodness through our knowledge of him who called us into his own glory and goodness. Got to have that knowledge. You got to have the basics, the milk of the word. Through these, he has given us his very great precious promises so that through him you may participate in the divine nature. Epinosis, the knowledge of God is participating in the divine nature. That's getting out there with the spiritual hammer and working and applying the things that we learn. And escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So what do we do to grow in spiritual maturity? Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, the milk. Faith is milk. You got to have it or else you can't grow. Add to your faith goodness. Do something with the faith. Do good. Apply it. Get the spiritual hammer out. The spiritual hammer, I don't mean beat people over the head. That's just kind of a, I don't know why I use that. Get the saw out, I don't know. And to goodness, knowledge. And so you begin doing, and then you gain more knowledge, right? And you, oh, wow, I never understood that before. But now that you've gone through certain experiences in life, you begin to understand it more and say, that's what that's talking about. You know, I hope we're learning this thing with divisions and disunity and all this type of thing, and we're growing, learning from our mistakes. At least I pray that we are. Verse 6, and then to that knowledge, self-control. That's that doing again. And to self-control, perseverance. Keep after it. Don't give up. To perseverance, godliness. Becoming more like Jesus Christ. You're growing from the basic knowledge. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. It's that again, is that love, true love for one another and the application of it. And to brotherly kindness, love. The bond of perfection, the spiritual meat, is understanding what real godly love is. And then it says, verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, right? You grow and grow up into maturity. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can become ineffective in the knowledge of God if we're not growing and applying it and using it and growing and becoming more like Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted, blind, has forgotten what he's been cleansed of his past sins. And verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. Growing up into love. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then Peter concludes, he says, for I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them, and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I basically just told you stuff that you know, but maybe can know and grow a little more effectively. Peter would keep feeding them the milk of the word to keep them grounded. And then he would feed them the meat of the word to keep them growing. May we all continue growing towards the kingdom of God.